Welcome to another episode of Nerd Tween, the movie podcast. I'm your host, Nerd Tween. Thank you so much for joining me. If you like multi-fandom content, whether that's wrestling, comic books, movies, TV shows, pretty much anything you can nerd out about, this is your place to be. So go ahead and hit that share, like, subscribe, wherever you're seeing this, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, IG, TikTok, wherever you see it, just give me a follow. We got a lot more great things coming for you right around the bend. But today, we're going to talk about an interesting topic for someone like me especially. This is going to be a very self-serving episode because I'm going to be talking about indie promotions, whether that's indie movies, indie games, indie comic books, you know, anything that you can look at as independent and not part of one of these big studios. Because it seems there's a big trend in across almost all media where these big companies are not being as supported by the consumer as they were in the past, and now it seems to be leaning more towards the independent scene, whether that's independent comics or independent movies or even independent games. There have been a lot of games recently that have had very small playtimes, but they've been so widely loved and played that they've gone viral and done really well. Same thing for comic books and a lot of other mediums. We'll get more into that details in a little bit. But I think it points to a trend where us as consumers, we kind of look at these big corporations now and we're like, we don't want to give you our money. We would rather give our money to small creators who are doing things that they love because they love them, not because they're trying to make millions and millions of dollars. The first big sign of this change, really, for me at least, is when you look at the comic book industry, because there has been independent comics for quite some time now, and a lot of really big name artists and writers left the big companies like Marvel and DC to create Image Comics. We're kind of seeing a second coming of that with this new indie publishing house called Distillery. It is the next generation comic book publisher where there's going to be physical, digital, collectibles, and they're trying to redefine the industry where everything that is produced through Distillery is creator owned and can be consumed everywhere. There are a huge amount of amazing creators that are involved in this. The founders are Brian Azzarello, Mirko Andolfo, Mark Bernardine, Elsa Charretier, Becky Clunan, Will Dennis, Lee Garnett, Tula Lotte, James McKelvey, Joel Jones, Junko Mizuno, Stephanie Phillips, Jock, Scott Snyder, Ram V, and of course, James Tynion IV. Those are just the ones that are listed as founders. They've brought on a lot more since then. Now, even like Peach Momoko was with them, and they're kind of revamping what it means to be a comic book publisher, because a lot of the people who are making indie comics don't own their own stuff. They do it through a publisher, and the publisher owns everything, which means they get more of the profits, obviously. That and creative freedom is one of the big reasons why I chose to make my comic book a self-published indie comic. The Ashcan just got 100, well, not just, but was 100%, over 100% funded on Kickstarter. It has since gone to print. I have approved the proofs. It's off to the printer, so those should be in rather soon. I've even been working on my signature. But the biggest reason that I decided to, because there are a lot of small publishers. My good friend John from In Case Comics, he decided to go with a publisher. Granted, it's someone that we both work with as our letterer, so it's not like it's some random, you know, company that's doing it, but there are a lot of people who go through smaller indie presses like Source Point or Lesser Known Comics or, you know, like Boom Studios or some of these smaller but, you know, still decent sized publishers, because it makes it much easier, because all you have to do is create. You don't have to worry about sending it off to the print. You don't have to worry about correcting the proofs. You get an editor for that. Sometimes they even give you artists or letterers. You don't have to go looking for them. You know, that's another big thing. And then obviously the cost and the publishing end, the distribution, all of those things are big. You know, so it's not like people who are, you know, going with these small indie presses are suckers. I'm not trying to say that at all, because they're not. I mean, they're getting a lot more books. You know what I mean? Like, so like if I wanted to do a huge print run, I would have to raise a ton of money, versus where a publisher who might have a press and everything, they might be able to do it with less upfront cost. Which, you know, that's something you got to think about if you're making anything, whether it's, you know, movies, TVs or comic books or whatever. But it definitely seems like this is the second coming of Image, but better, because it's all creator owned. So like, these artists and creators are basically working together using their combined network of buyers and connections and talent, for that matter, to create their own stories that they've wanted to tell, and owning the rights to them. And that's amazing. I mean, you got to give all the props in the world to this, these people who decided to make this happen. It's great. And like I said, I feel like it's the second coming of Image, where you're going to look back 20, 30 years down the road and go, wow, I lived through that time. I remember when that first showed up. I remember the first covers, you know, and they're also going digital. There's a lot of things there's a lot of really great things that are like associated with Distillery, and it's going to take over. I mean, Scott Snyder, Ram V, James Tynion, Jock, these are like titans of the industry right now. I mean, they've written for some of the biggest names in the big Marvel and DCs. I mean, all the Batman, just to name one big name that they've written on, you know what I mean? Like, these are celebrated talents, and they've decided to go this. And all props needs to go to James Tynion, because he kind of started this movement, if you ask me, when he decided to hand over the keys to Batman and the Joker, which he was writing phenomenally, by the way, and launch his own Substack, you know, and basically bet on himself and was right. And then also, and then after he did that successfully, now he's working with Distillery. And I don't think enough can be said about the effect that James Tynion has had on not only the comic industry, indie comics, as well as horror in general. There's so many new horror titles and new horror fans, because they go, oh, James Tynion wrote it? Isn't he the guy that wrote Something That's Killing the Children, Department of Truth? Hell yeah. Oh, let's give it a shot. And all the praise in the world needs to go to him, because he is, in my opinion, the most influential figure of this generation, because of what he's done. I mean, besides his amazing talent, I mean, it takes a lot of trust in yourself and a lot of, for lack of a better term, balls to say, you know what, I'm enjoying writing Batman and the Joker, but I want to do my own thing. I'm done writing Batman and the Joker. Majority of writers would lose their mind to have a shot, just a shot to write Batman or Joker. You know, so for him to be like, I'm good, I got the stuff I got to do, more power to him. And I'm so glad that he's been, I was one of the first founding members of the Tiny Onion Club. I mean, he has done nothing but great things for the business, in my opinion. And all the praise goes to him. And it's definitely been a pleasure to watch, because like I said, we're going to look back 20 years from now and go, where were you when Tynion left Batman? You know what I mean? Where were you when Distillery launched? Where were you? Like, these are all these things. Like, these are the things that people were probably neglecting Image for, and now look back, oh man, do you remember how cool that was? That's what we're living right now with Distillery and these indie presses. And, you know, I also wanted to talk about the fact that we're at a point in just human history where it's just so easy, not, I don't want to say easy, so there are at almost everyone's fingertips is the ability to do whatever you want. If you want to write a comic, if you want to make a movie, if you want to shoot a music video, you want to make music, it's all at our fingertips right now. And 10, 15 years ago, I couldn't have even imagined the possibility of me self-publishing a comic book. 15, 20 years ago, you wouldn't be going, how many indie publishing companies are there? Don't you mean Image and Dark Horse, and that's about it, right? While there were other ones, those are the big names everyone knew. That was about it. You know, and Vertigo, but it's neither here nor there. But when you look at how far we've come, I mean, it's pretty extraordinary. It really is. And I just, I'm really excited for this trend. I mean, one of my good friends, JJ Comics, JJ Comic and stuff, if you don't follow him on TikTok, you don't watch his podcast he does with Longbox Entertainment, where he's talking strictly about independent comics, called the Indie Inkwell, you're missing out, because that is a great show. They bring on artists. I had the luxury and the pleasure and the honor of being the very first guest on this new podcast, and it's fantastic. Definitely check that out. I respect not only what he's doing, they're doing, and them as a whole, but their message that there's a promo for their podcast in my ash can, you know, so definitely give them a shout. They're pretty awesome. But then you look at like what we were talking earlier, and we were talking about how this is the new trend, and it looks like that it's because of what has happened. I mean, if you look at, like, for instance, the writer's strike and how long they fought for the actors and writers to not get paid, and then to raise all their prices, then remove stuff off of the, they're doing so much, and it's all about profits, not about the actual entertainment anymore, where the indies are. Because as I've talked about many times in this podcast, if you're an indie creator and you do something and put X amount of dollars into it and you flop, and now you owe X and Y, well, that might be the last thing you ever produce. Where you look at that X-Men, they literally drove it into the ground twice. Twice. Two times. Three movies each. And I'm not even talking about the Wolverine spinoffs. But if you look at it, X-Men 1, 2, and 3, and then the reboots, First Class, Days of Futures Past, and Dark Phoenix, they literally took those properties and ran them into the ground twice. Did some good movies come out of those? Of course. But they went so far off the deep end on the third installment, that they rebooted the franchise. An indie movie, even if it gets three, if that third one isn't great, there will not be a reboot. You look at the trends of how many times, especially Marvel and DC, that their characters get rebooted. How many Spider-Man number ones are there in the past 5 years? Probably hundreds. Because they keep rebooting it. Daredevil, they'll do 16 issues, then reboot it. 32 issues, then reboot it. Hell, the DC Universe has been rebooted so many times in the last couple years that I don't even know which way's up anymore. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But that speaks to what I'm talking about, where if Spider-Man was an indie character and that first run wasn't good, there would not have been a second run. There wouldn't been. But these big companies are just like, we'll just start throwing shit at the wall and see what hits. Well, we're not in the room anymore. We saw that first one hit, and we're like, we'll go somewhere else. There's this little mom and pop shop down the road that's got better food. You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely seems to be a trend, and one that I'm very welcome to, and I support 100%. And it's across the board, too. I mean, look at it like this. A Godzilla Minus One. It had a $15 million budget, and according to Box Office Mojo, it's earned $60 million. $60 million worldwide, where The Marvels cost $300 million and earned a total of $202 million, which is a loss of over $100 million. But if Godzilla Minus One made $10 million and lost $5 million, there would not be that company would have gone under, been over, done. But Marvel just keep releasing movies, which again, I'm not complaining about. I'm just saying there's a trend here. Godzilla Minus One cost literally less than one of the She-Hulk episodes, but yet it was better done and wildly hailed as amazing. I've not seen a single negative review of Godzilla Minus One. Where, granted, whether it's real or not, or just some misogynistic jerk online, irrelevant, there are a few bad reviews of She-Hulk. I haven't seen a single one for Godzilla Minus One. And then, I mean, think about it this way. And this is going to get a little racy. OnlyFans. Okay? OnlyFans. Granted, it's not their business model, but the way OnlyFans really works is it's basically porn that you get directly from a person in most cases. I know it's not all cases, but they generated $5.5 billion in gross. There are women who make tens of thousands, if not millions of dollars a month on that platform. Now, there is free websites for that kind of stuff. It's not hard to find it, especially with a phone or a computer. But then why do these women still make all this money, or men too? I mean, why do these models, let's just call them that, do so well when more graphic and more, let's just say, high-end or production value stuff is available for free? Why do people continue to go to them? It's because it makes them feel like they're a part of it. They get to interact with the person directly. Whether or not they're actually interacting with them is irrelevant. It's that extra little bit of, like, this is a real person. This isn't some woman who's hired by a multi-million-dollar porn company that's gonna just pay pennies on the dollar and then make millions on their own. No, this is them making their money for themselves. So people support them. Granted, you can argue there's other reasons for it, but when you break it down, that's what's happening. So much money because people aren't just watching the same old things. They want to be able to go, I was a part of something. And that's what indie comics gives them. That's what indie games give. That's what OnlyFans and indie movies give them. And then you look at things like with the CEO of Take-Two, the publisher of the GTA 6, he had this quote, I'm going to read it off, make sure it's exact, about pricing. In terms of our pricing for any entertainment property, basically the algorithm is the value of the expected entertainment usage, which is to say the per hour value times the number of expected hours plus the terminal value that's perceived by the customer in ownership, if the title is owned rather than rented or subscribed to. So basically, what he's saying there is that basically they want us to start paying for games by the hour. Or the bigger the game, the more money they want us to pay. Now, you can make a case that that's valid, that a small indie game shouldn't cost the same as a big-time game with hundreds of hours of playtime. I don't know that there are many indie games that do cost that much. I could be wrong. I'm not as big gamer as I used to be, and things have changed. So if I'm wrong, please let me know in the comments below. But usually, the indie games would be cheaper because they're smaller and, you know, they don't have as much to earn to either make it back or to make a profit. So when these companies are talking about, hey, we're going to give you GTA 6, but it's going to be $70, but we think it should be more because you're buying the game and then you get to play for hundreds and hundreds of hours, we're not getting enough value. That might be accurate, but I'll tell you what, You know what an indie company is not doing? Worried about how many hours you're having fun playing their games and worrying how they can make more money off you. Now, maybe you can make an argument that that's why they're indie and not big companies. Fair enough. I won't argue that. But then when you look at it, like someone, let's just say me, as if someone wants to option my comic book, right? And they say that someone played my game based off my comic book for 100 hours. I wouldn't, my thought isn't, and they only paid us once. We only charged them that first time for the game, and we didn't charge them multiple times for DLCs and for and if the game was long, we didn't charge them. Why? That's not how this is supposed to work. No, I would be like, they played my game for 100 hours? Can you find out the name of this player? I want to thank them directly. That is where most of these industries are going. And you can see the trends already if you're wise enough and pay attention enough to what is really going on. And then you look at, like, for instance, like the Iron Claw movie that's coming out. That's an indie title. And I bet you that thing kills at the box office in a good way. And there's always exceptions to the rule. Don't get me wrong. I always say this in all my shows. There's always exceptions to the rule. And what I say isn't law or fact or anything like that. But listen to what I'm saying. And then go look and tell me I'm wrong. Because I don't see any other way this can play out. The trend, like, people don't just want to watch a movie, they want to experience it. And in a lot of cases, and that's why Comic Cons and these panels and these signings and these photo ops do so well, because people want to be part, they want to feel something. They want to be a part of it, even in the slightest, tiniest little way. It makes it that much better. And I think that's what indie everything brings to people. And I just hope that this is the case, because we're going down a really great path, people. When an indie creator gets to create what they want, and knows that if they don't bring it, that they might not get the next issue or the next game or the next whatever, they're going to bring it. It's not like with a big corporation where, like, for instance, if the company that did Godzilla Minus One raised $300 million and lost $100 million, do you think there would be even the slightest bit of chance that that indie promotion would get another movie to make Godzilla again? Or anything for that matter? Probably not. But a $100 million loss isn't going to kill the MCU. It's just not. And, you know, that could be a problem in and of itself, but that's a whole another can of worms that we're not going to get into today. But I do have to admit that, like I said, I'm very happy about where this looks like it's going. And I definitely have a lot of hope. Because I've said on this podcast many times how it seems like these big corporations are at this point 100% concerned with just making money and are not making great content to make the money and earn the money. You know, and has not been a great year for movies. Even great movies that were awesome didn't do that well at the box office. And some movies that were bad didn't do well. Some movies that were good didn't do well. It was like, this is a very interesting time. But I bet you one thing. I will say this. When it comes to these big corporations, they're riding a very slippery slope. And while they may not care now, I think they'll care in the future. I really do. I definitely feel like there is going to be a reckoning very soon. And I just hope you're whoever's listening to this are on the right side. Because, you know, it definitely is. It could be great. If we have a renaissance of new and great content, is anyone going to complain about that? I know I'm not. But I think indies are about to take over, ladies and gents. You may not have heard it here first, but you definitely heard it here. Now, that's going to be all for this segment. I am going to also talk about a few things in a moment. First, I want to give a shout out to Martin, the artist of my comic book. He put out an amazing, and I mean amazing, booklet of his work that he's done. Where there's a lot of superhero stuff, and it'll be up on the screen here. It's fantastic, and I really am so humbled and so lucky that I have an artist as good as Martin. He'll be tagged below as well. I also have a few signed copies of it that I'm going to give away coming up soon. So definitely want to follow so you can be up on that. Just, do you see that? It's freaking amazing. Wow. Look at that. You see that? You see that shit? It's freaking banging. And it's funny because I'm not going to edit this out because I want full transparency. I recorded it and then I went back and added it. So anything I might put it on the wrong side on purpose just to make it look hilarious and see, look at the production. Look, this guy sucks. You can't even edit his videos because they won't bother to listen past that. So, oh, that's good. That's awesome. But yeah, And Martin works a lot in black and white, does color too. He did the coloring for my book as well, so he definitely has the ability. But he does, like, he's he works on a lot of, does really well with shadows. When you work in black and white, and I've heard this from not only, you know, other artists, but people in the industry, comic industry, you have to be so much more precise. Because there's no room to hide anything with color. Not saying that a colored image is hiding imperfections. Not saying that at all. But it can be used as such. You don't have that luxury in black and white. So everything has to be that much better. And his work with shadows, it's freaking insane. You look at some of his work. You go on his Instagram account and just look at all of his work. Some of it looks so real that you think someone took a picture and just made it black and white. Not just a ridiculously, unbelievably, stupendously, outrageous, gargantuan, amazing talent that he is. And if anyone caught some of that, I kind of messed the lines up, but that's a reference to something. That's a little, you know, Easter egg, I guess. But yeah, he is just so talented. The fact that this is our comic book, my comic book with his work, is his first published comic out is disrespectful. And I feel like that's going to change very soon. But make sure you give him a follow. His information is going to be up on the screen here. And if you're interested in a free copy that might be signed, let me know. I have a few of them that I may be giving away. I might also give it away elsewhere. So, you know, follow everywhere. And last but not least, I want to give a big shout out to Agents of Slabs. I submitted my first ever book myself at MegaCon last year. It was a very limited print of Good Boy. It was an Alan Qua Virgin chrome cover. I think limited to 50, if I'm not mistaken. And it was the first time I ever submitted anything. So, obviously I was wary about it, but I submitted it and, I'm checking my receipt after I walked away. It looks like I didn't put the complete address. Went back and, I was like, hey, can you verify that I got my address on there correctly? I need to make sure my apartment's on there. And they said, yeah, you're good. No worries. I actually started to record a video. I was like, I'm going to blow them up if I do that. And then I just deleted it. I was like, I'm not going to do that. Whatever happens is going to happen. Now, fast forward. Was it 3 months? And then I get a call. So, hey, this is the guy who runs Agents of Slabs, and we got your book back. Apparently, FedEx tried to deliver it, and you weren't there, and they tried to reach out to you. They left notes on your door, and I was like, okay, first of all, that's not true. I work from home, so I'm here. I'm always here, and there was nothing ever on the door, and then end up getting back to him. So, I spoke to the owner, really great guy, and then he took down my information, and he put it in, said, we'll get this shipped out to you. Fast forward another couple months. Calls me again. Hey, we got your book back. Apparently, they couldn't deliver it. What's going on? And he's very understanding, both initially when I explained what happened, and then again when he called and we're like, yeah, so I don't know what to tell you. I'm here, so I don't know why. And then, they went off to New York City Comic Con, and I was so ready to chalk it up as a cost of doing business. Look, your first one, it messed up. Oh, well, good for you. Too bad. It's $100-some bucks, whatever. I can't stress. I wasn't going to stress myself out about this book. I just took it as a loss. I said, whatever. That's whatever. I'm just not going to use them again, whatever. Even though it wasn't their fault initially, want to make that very clear. I was one who left the apartment off. I had just moved when MegaCon happened. In fact, my brother was moving us still into the new apartment while I was going to MegaCon. So I, forgot. And then after we got resolved and the right information was there, it still hadn't come. And it was almost, I think when we last spoke, it was a couple of days ago, because I have received it now. So there is a good ending to this story. It was weird because he was like, man, I don't know how this is still here. We're going to get this out to you. Don't worry about it. There's a scuff on it. And he was like, listen, if the scuff's a problem, please bring it to MegaCon if you're coming, or send it back to us and we'll resend it or whatever. I'm going to be honest, I don't care. And the reason why I don't care, and that's not like I don't give a shit. No, I don't care because I only submitted it because it was my first ever submission. And Alan Qua was one of the first exclusives I ever had. I have a world tree with Alan Qua, so it was this whole full circle kind of thing. It was my favorite, one of my favorite indie comics, Good Boy from Source Point Press, one of my favorite artists on one of the coolest covers, who also I've worked with, signed, and I can submit it all right now. I don't have to have an account. Let's do it. Yellow label. Hell yeah. And I did it because I wanted that experience of submitting a book. I now have a book that I submitted myself. Obviously they submitted it, but I at a convention, got a book signed and said, here, you're a witness. Please submit this for grading. And I'll tell you what. I don't know what they did, because I am shocked at the grade I got. Because it was a 9.8, ladies and gents. I got a 9.8 on a Chromium Virgin cover that was signed that I know for 100% certainty had some fingerprints on it. Because I didn't wipe it off before I gave it to them to submit for grading. Because I didn't care what I got. I just wanted it to say, look, this is what I got. This is my first, like, that's going to go up. Like, if I'm ever become a famous whatever, writer, YouTuber, whatever the fuck you want to call it, and I have this big office, that's going to be up in my office. My first ever submission. That's a big deal for me. You know, it's like when a restaurant owner frames their first dollar bill. But I got a 9.8. So I'm going to sit here and say, my name is Kyle, a.k.a. Nerdtween, and I want to say that Agents of Slabs, y'all are the shit. I respect the way you handle yourselves. You all have always delivered great product. Like, for instance, when I went, the signatures were free. Like, if I wanted to just walk up and have Qua sign it and walk away, it would have been free. And it only cost because I wanted it graded. And it was amazing. They are a really good, and they go all over. Like, they're at multiple conventions all over the country. So definitely, again, I know I don't have a huge reach. I get that, but they are definitely Nerdtween approved. I would not hesitate to submit another book with them at all, like even the slightest bit. And that's saying something for me, because it took so long to get to me. But again, it wasn't their fault initially. And then it was, then it was, and then it was. You know, whatever. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. It was resolved in the end. And that's the thing. Like, initially when I walked away, I thought to myself, I'm going to save this. I'm going to do this so I can do a review and be like, they suck. Look what they did. That's not what happened. Because that's not how people should act. I've seen so many people that are quick to jump at misfortunes or things that just tend to happen when there's a human or even computer elements to it. Mistakes happen. Things go wrong. You know what you got to do? Adapt and figure it out and get through it. I could have put them on blast for, hey, I submitted at MegaCon. It's been 7 months. I still don't got it. Let's all tag him in this and blow his spot up, which people do. Whether that's, you know, by review bombing or whatever, there's a lot of things that happens a lot on the internet. I'm glad I took the route I did. Because again, in my head, yeah, I'm not, believe me, $100 is a lot of money. You can do a lot with $100. I know I can. I know I can do a shit ton with $100. That was really $150, but whatever. Let's say $100. But I was much rather chalk that up to the cost of doing business, and look, the horror stories about grading are true. That's really what I was looking for. I wanted to know what it was like to, you know, submit. And for most people, like, I had friends that also were at MegaCon and submitted, and then with the same people, like, I got my stuff back a month ago. I got my stuff back last week. Where the hell's mine? But now I do have it, and I can't thank them enough, and I look forward to doing business with them in the future. And hey, maybe if my comic book takes off one day, you'll see me signing at a Agents of Slabs booth at some convention, whether that's New York City Comic Con or down here in MegaCon, or I'm pretty sure they go down to SuperCon as well. I'm pretty sure they're also at San Diego, but that I can't off the top of my head, I can't think for sure. But yeah, Agents of Slabs, definitely a company, a business that I will definitely work with again. And again, for what it's worth, they are definitely Nerdtween approved, as is Distillery, as is Godzilla Minus One, at least how they did it, I haven't seen the inch. Martin's artwork and his compendium of great art, Kyle Willis's art, Tina, drawing a blank of her last name, but 305 Miami Comics. There's so many great creators out here, John from Encase Comics, that are really giving their heart and soul to this business. And we, not only as creators, as consumers, as just people, should just do a better job at giving praise where it's due, and not being so quick to throw hate as much as it does nowadays on the internet. Because, I mean, the whole pandemic and all that did a lot of things for a lot of people. It saved my life personally. It cost me a lot too, not financially. But not every one of my family made it through that. You know what I mean? But being home and being able to create, like I have been for now, the better part of what, 3 years now, has been a blessing and has been such an amazing, life-changing experience. I mean, I'm not a big time creator. I'm not making thousands and thousands of dollars doing this. Hell, it actually costs me to run podcasts and everything else that I do, all the equipment that I need and the programs and this, that, and the other. I mean, it's a lot goes into it. That being said, if you're watching this and you want to sponsor, let me know. I am more than welcome. I'd be happy to take on a sponsor right now. I could definitely be a brand ambassador. But yeah, this, the way this, the trend is going, I'm really happy. Yeah, this has been a really interesting episode. I never thought I would bring up OnlyFans on my podcast, but it hit me like a ton of bricks today when I was preparing for this episode. I was like, oh my God, that's what the OnlyFans models are. They're indie porn stars. What? And then it just took off from there. But if you're still watching this, thank you so much for putting up with me for this long. Until next time, this is Nerdtween signing off. You stay nerdy, my friends.